One gang, the Mozowo gang of 400 guerrillas, were there in near Port-au-Prince, and they operated in the mountains outside of Port-au-Prince at a compound there. This group of missionaries one day was going to an orphanage in the city of Gantier, and it's east of the capital city. They had a van that they were riding in, and the van driver was Canadian. There were 17 of them in there, including the van driver, and they left to go to the orphanage. On the way back, there was a truck that pulled in front of them and stopped them in the narrow streets. So they tried to turn around and go the other way, and a truck pulled in behind them, and they were blocked in. The guerrillas got out with guns, with weapons. They came up to the van, and they said, "You will follow us." One of the guerrillas got on the van and went with them as they trudged down the street behind between the two trucks. They finally came to the compound, and there they were incarcerated in a room that was 10 by 12. One of the people, there might have been two, but at least one had a cell phone they had snuck in and was able to contact friends and tell them that they had been kidnapped. Eventually, the kidnappers found the cell phone, took it away, but during this time, they also decided to ask for ransom, and they asked the American government for $17 million, $1 million for each one of the 17 that were held there. They were held in a room that was 10 by 12, and so they could not sleep at night at the same time. There was not enough room for 17 in a room 10 by 12, so some would sleep for a while, and then others would stand, and others would sleep. There were all kinds of other problems. Their guerrillas were never mean to them, though. They never harmed them. They never abused them. If they did anything else, they neglected them. Now, the children, they seemed to be infatuated with the children, and they took care of the children. They brought in baby food for the little baby, 10-month-old baby. All the children were well taken care of. The adults were sort of neglected, and but in this particular time, this group, powerful prayers, began to pray. And they said, "We must pray constantly." And so they set up a prayer chain so that someone would be praying 24 hours a day in that compound. Obviously, that's what I would do, too. And so they were praying all through the day and all through the night for their deliverance. After a month or so, though, they began to realize maybe the ransom isn't going to be paid. What will be our outcome? So they began to pray to God, what do you want us to do? And they began, first God said he wanted them to testify. So they told the guards, do you not understand that we worship the living God and that you guys are in trouble for harboring us? You guys are going to be brought under the judgment of God if you don't let us go. And if you don't stop doing this stuff you're doing. Also, then they began to pray, and suddenly the group began to come together. It was about the 1st of December. They all came together and said, "We're supposed to escape." And several of them in the group said, "Yeah, in my prayer time, God said we're supposed to escape." But how do you escape a compound with 400 guerrillas and weapons? So they began to plan how they would do it if there was a possibility of doing it, how the path that they would walk and how they would get out and what they would do when they got out. 5 of the 17, though, got very sick with sores that were so bad, infected, that they let them go. 12 were left. These 12, on December 15th, got together, and all of them at the same time, which was a miracle, they said, because none of them could agree on anything except on what this plan was, and that on December 15th, it was time to leave. They had thought about two other times, but it was not right. December 15th, Wednesday, at night, they put their plan into practice. They came out and they decided that they were going to get their backpacks and their everything ready. And at a certain hour, 3 or 4 in the morning, they walked to the door, and the door that had been barred was open. They stepped out. Two guards who were outside at all times were not there. They went on the path that they had planned to go, and there was no one that stopped them. Now, I don't quite know whether or not anyone saw them or anyone was asleep or what was going on, but they walked through the compound of 400 men and walked out of the compound. They decided to go through the roughest area of briars and brambles because it would hide them in their escape. But it was very dangerous. There was precipices. There were just terrible bushes and stuff. And they said, how are we going to know where to go? The moon had lit the night, and it was a moonlit night, so they could see where they were going. Otherwise, they had no flashlight. And then someone said, you know, we're almost at Christmas. If this is a Christmas miracle, maybe we should look to the stars. Maybe the stars will guide us as it did the wise men. And someone said, that's what God is calling us to do, follow the stars. So they looked up, and the night was so perfect, they could see the stars clearly. And they saw the North Star, and they plotted their path, and they started out. Still, they were struggling, and they saw in front of them a mountain. And they said, maybe we should go to the top of the mountain to see where we should go from here. And someone quoted the scriptures from Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made both heaven and earth. And they said, that's what we're supposed to do. God's word has said, go towards the mountain. And they started walking towards the mountain. They went 10 miles, they said, that night. And they got, it was near dawn, and they got to the top of the mountain. They didn't quite know what they were going to do when they got there. But there was a man in the early morning hours before dawn who just happened to be there, who had a cell phone. And they told him their story, and he called the police, and they called the embassy, and within a few hours, all 12 were in Florida, completely saved. They had been transported there by the American government. I had to listen to an interview and read some articles to get all that information. But there were, in the group, there was a married couple, a 10-month-old baby, a 3-year-old, a 14-year-old girl, and a 15-year-old boy, 4 single men, and 2 women. I don't know whether they were single or married. Imagine carrying that group through the briars and the brambles and trying to get out of a compound. Miraculous. I wanted to share that story with you because God laid it on my heart. God is the God of miracles today as he was when Jesus was born. And the same miracle grace that came down and gave man salvation is available to each one of us. Now, I don't know if you find yourself entombed in a situation that you don't think you can get out of. I don't know whether or not there are bars around you that seemingly you cannot get away from, a sin that has you completely enslaved. I don't know if you find yourself in such fear and trepidation that you can hardly go forward. I don't care how big the enemy is in your life. I don't care how many there are, 400 or 1,000. I want you to know that the same God who brought Jesus to earth and the miraculous deliverance that we got when he came to earth is the deliverance that is available to you every day of the week, and there is no enemy that he cannot take care of. There is no circumstance that he cannot deliver you from. We, at Christmas time, are most blessed to talk about the deliverance God has given us over our sins, which is the great salvation. But God also wants to deliver us from things that keep us from following and working with him and becoming his Christ child. I don't know how many of you celebrated Christmas this year and looked into a face of a child. But, you know, the older you get, the more you realize Christmas is about children. Because here's what I watched. We had several get-togethers. And in every case, there was a small child. They look with expectancy at things going, wow. Their eyes are this big. They expect miracles. They are just, you know, when my grandchild came through the door and walked through the door, she was, Nana, Pop, where is it? And she came walking in, and we had all the packages she hadn't seen yet around the tree. She goes, there's so much stuff. Yeah. She says, is it all mine? No. But she was good about it because we let her. She would get the package and bring it to us, and we would read the name, and then she would take it to them. So it was very good for her to learn how to distribute packages at 2.5 years of age. But watching her, when she took that package and she would hand it to someone, she would say, can I help you? And she would help them tear open the package. And the thrill that she would just sit there and go, open it. It wasn't for her, but she was excited it would be open. I said, this is Christmas. What am I getting to? Christian, when we lose our excitement, our animation, our joy over the things that are so beautiful that we celebrate at Christmas and Easter, something's wrong with us. We need to be like children who go, wow, this is amazing. This is wonderful. Can you? My wife looked at me this past week and she said, can you believe this? I said, what? What? Can you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Do you know how great that is? I said, probably not. Not to the extent I need to know it. not to the point that when I come in, I go, wow. When I come to church, I go, wow. When I talk with people about the Lord, I go, wow. I want you to know that this miracle is available to every Christian. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my prayer is that you would accept him. For this was God's gift, his miraculous gift of deliverance for every man, not just some men, not just some women, not just some people, but for every man, woman, and child from every tribe and every nation across the universe. Every single tribe and nation in the entire world has sought to come up with a religion that pleases God. But it was God who came up with the plan of sending his son, Jesus, who gives us deliverance. And I encourage you to be like my grandchild, who when God looks at you and says, this guy that you don't even know, this guy or this girl, I want you to take him a package. I want, this is their gift from me. Would you take it to him? And be like my grandchild who takes it and says, open it, open it, open it. Open it. I want to see what it is. Would that we would get so excited with the Christmas child gift that we can give those around us who need it desperately right now. And we would get excited about sharing it with them, going, I got to tell you this, I got to tell you this, I got to tell you this, I got to tell you this. Jesus loves you, and he died for you. He came, God came and sent his only son to earth, God in the flesh, to die on the cross for you. Do you understand? God has given you deliverance. I'm afraid too many of Christians, too many of us, walk in and see the packages and say, are all of these for me? God bless me. I need blessings. All my prayers are pointed towards me and my family. Everything's about me and me and me and me and me and me and me. God is saying, I want you to take my gift to the world. It's a gift. It's not a problem. It's not a pain. It's not a heartache. It's a gift. And it's a gift of deliverance. Will you take that to those around you? So the message this morning was basically two things. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, he is your deliverance. The Christ child, the way we celebrate Christmas, and the Christ child at Christmas is a time where we celebrate deliverance. If you don't know that deliverance, I want to ask you right now, if you're listening or if you're here, to pray a prayer with me right now. Father, I give you my life. I need deliverance. I need deliverance from this thing that has overwhelmed me, that keeps me down. But I know that it means I must submit myself to you, give my heart and life to you. And so I give myself to you right now. I surrender all that I am, all that I have, and make you my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For everyone else, I would say this. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? And all meaning, is there an awe, A-W-E, an awe in your life when it comes to God? Is there an awe to your Christian faith such that you, like a child, just have to share the presence? Is there an awe in your eyes and heart at what God has gifted you with? By the way, I don't know how you are, but my grandchild was this way. The gift that we thought she might like, but has became the gift that she wanted to play with and sleep with and everything else. It's weird. The other ones, we thought she would really like this because it's big. No, the small one we gave her, that she it was a bluey camper. She is in love with a bluey camper. We never would have thought that. You would never believe this, but you will never know what someone needs until you give it to them. But God knows what they will love and what they will cherish and what they need. So I ask you, as we sing together, we're going to sing together. I